Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for December the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our Do It Too. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. If America wants to be great again, America must be moral again. Family is the fundamental unit of society. We believe in one man, one woman marriages, ladies and gentlemen. We believe men and women are, they're not equal, but they have equality before God and should before government. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Before we get to our guest really quick, a couple of quick stories that I want to have Kurt weigh in on. I guess this kid in Tennessee got bullied, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, it's kind of a big AP story, you know, and somebody feels like it's vital to talk about it. But, you know, I look at it and think, well, you know, they think this is kind of like a new thing. But the headline reads from the AP, athletes, entertainers rush to support bullied Tennessee boy. I mean, if they think this is kind of out of the ordinary, this, maybe they've just never been to school. But anyway, it says a Tennessee woman's video of her tearful son recounting being bullied at middle school has prompted a wave of support from athletes and their entertainers. Kimberly Jones said in a Facebook post she had just picked up her son. Kid's name is Keaton, from school, because he was too afraid to go to lunch. In the video, the little boy said other students call him ugly, make fun of his nose, and tell him he has no friends. He said milk was poured on him and ham was put down his clothes. Then they say, they ask him this question, just out of curiosity, why do they bully? What's the point of it? Why do they find joy in taking innocent people and find a way to be mean to them? It's not okay. You know, I mean, they act like this is some new thing, but they say this video has more than 18 million views. That was as of last Sunday, and a crowdsourcing page for Keaton's future education has raised more than 29 grand.
Well, so, let's be very clear. We stand 1,000% against any bullying and any abuse of anybody anytime. Or I should say all the time.
Yeah.
Right? We stand against that. We stand against sexual abuse, emotional abuse, whatever abuse. We stand against abuse, Kurt. And there's no excuse for it, and it's wrong. The problem that we're having with the story a little bit is they're using it on a, they're ignoring all the other cases of abuse that happen every day while they highlight this one, raise a bunch of money, and a bunch of celebrities gather around it. I'm not so sure that's the real answer.
And they don't talk about the solution, you know, which is, I mean, number one thing is
get my kid out of the government school in the first place.
That's exactly right. And to return God or the Ten Commandments to America's public
life. Yeah, like thou shalt not bully.
But, you know, well, thou shalt, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that you're not supposed to do. And one of them is you're supposed to, I mean, you just.
Well, if you honored your mother and your father, I doubt the mother and father are for the abuse, right?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is it's a very strange thing, not because it's good they're standing up against it. I'm just not so sure that bringing a bunch of media attention and the way they're doing it and raising a big old bunch of cash is the answer. I think the answers go a lot more to do with God, family, and country. And, you know, when you put a kid in a government school, that stuff's bound to happen because there's not enough supervision. The principles of in my opinion, of peace are not taught there. You can't have God there. You can't speak out for traditional family there.
Yep.
And so, you know, we're not surprised that stuff's happening. The answer is to get your kids out of government school. Anyway, I appreciate athletes and entertainers rushing to support this, but I'd like to see a whole lot less focus on one case for maybe political reasons and a whole lot more reality check on what the solutions are.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that they say big choice for Alabama is actually a no-brainer, writes Jesse Lee Peterson, our good friend, Kurt.
Well, and Jesse Lee Peterson, Sam, is a black man. And, of course, we're not supposed to be friends with him, right? Because, you know, they say we're racist, and yet
But he believes that mom and dad at home can solve most of the problems of society, Kurt. And so do we.
Yeah, amen to that. And anyway, bottom line, Jesse Lee Peterson is right again.
Yeah, there he is. And by the way, we syndicate his radio show, the Jesse Lee Peterson radio show. He does a great job on his show, too. And they say that Jesse's an Uncle Tom, though.
Well, of course, if he doesn't go along with the Jesse Jackson kind of guys, just like our good buddy that ran for president, that we support and supported many years, the good with Mr. Carson,
Ben
that's
Carson.
Who they call him.
Yeah, that's right. But again, these guys are good moral gentlemen that they agree with us on the principles. Yeah. And you know what? Race mattereth not. The fact that we're good, honest Americans and we want solutions matters completely.
Good point.
Just very imagine good. An idea like that. Americans standing together on moral principles. That's like crazy talk.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what color you are.
Monsanto's offering cash to U.S. farmers who use controversial chemicals, Kurt.
Yeah, look at that, Sam. I mean, here it is, Monsanto. As our old buddy Derry Brownfield used to call it, they'd call it Monsanto U. He was talking about Missouri, where Monsanto basically owned the university, is what he said. But now, Sam, they've got another, questionable, at least in my opinion, product, and they're trying to buy more folks, well, I guess you could say more acreage, and they're going to give cash back to U.S. farmers. I hope the farmers, there's a number of them that continue to say, hey, we don't want any of this stuff anymore. And there's more and more Americans and people around the world that just want kind of the old-fashioned kind of food, not the new chemically, scientifically manipulated.
What's wrong with you, Kurt? Don't you want to eat Petri dish burgers? Come on.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
I know what
crazy,
you're thinking.
But
it's crazy. So what's worse for you? The Monsanto chemicals going on all the crops and on all the food and on all the land and that kind of stuff? Or vaccines, do you think, Kurt?
Well, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch, isn't it?
I heard that. Alan Phillips with us. National Vaccine Information, or National Vaccine, or Right, wow, VaccineRights.com. He's a national well-known vaccine attorney is what I meant to say. He's also head of PandemicResponseProject.com website. What do you think? What's worse for you, Monsanto literally making all the crops toxic or vaccines, sir? Any idea?
Well, first of all, good morning to both of you, and a pleasure and honor to be back with you as always. And let's just say I would really rather not be in the position if I have to choose between two evils. I'd rather just get rid of both of them. So
wait a minute. You want to choose choice C? The Hegelian dialectic is not going to let you choose choice C, sir. You must be an extremist. See, that's how they go when they can't debate the facts, huh?
Well, I tell you, the solution to all these problems in one sense on an abstract level is that we have to think outside of the box, step outside of the box. You know, the extent to which we are slaves to money, and let's face it, in today's world, it's impossible for the vast majority of people to ever, if possible for anyone, to ever, 100% step outside of that system or that mold. But the extent to which you can is the extent to which others can't control you or manipulate you on that level. For example, there are many, 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 many healthcare workers all over the country who don't want to get the flu shots that their employers are mandating, but they feel like they don't have a choice. They can't afford to quit their job. Many are afraid to even ask for an exemption because they're afraid that'll make them put them on the radar screen and they'll be, in line for being fired, and most of them are the so-called at-will employees where they can be fired at any time for no reason. So people, as individuals, feel and often, frankly, are disempowered, not able to stand up. When I hear about money going back to farmers from Monsanto, what comes to my mind is that old saying of he who has the money makes the rules, and in our society and world, there's a lot of truth to that, and it's really sad because a lot of people who have the most money, some of those people at least, use it in immoral ways, unethical ways, unlawful, even criminal ways. You can look at the pharmaceutical industry. I've counted now from the Justice Department website, so this is not a conspiracy theory. This is right off a federal government website, 55 combined criminal civil fines from pharmaceutical and health companies, 55 of them greater than $100 million since 2001. This is an industry that, despite whatever good it provides us, and I would be among the first to say that the industry does provide some good, but despite that, it routinely engages in massive criminal behavior. I don't know any other word for that than criminal cartel or some other similar kind of phrase. It's just disturbing. And Monsanto, of course, is well known, at least among...
Well, you want neither, Alan Phillips, but the fact is these poor people are going to be forced to have both if we're not very careful. Alan Phillips with us, well-known vaccine rights attorney. VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com, and Seconds on Your Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com with us. So, Alan, I got an interesting question for you. They're saying all these sexual, you know, victims should be believed. And I don't know if it's a matter of believing as much as it's a matter of finding out the truth. And I believe somebody's innocent until proven guilty. And I'm not saying somebody shouldn't be believed, but at the same time, I'm saying, look, facts matter here. So I got a question. If all the victims of sexual abuse should be believed, what about the victim of vaccinations? Should they be believed?
Well, the sexual abuse scandals are fascinating. And these next several months and maybe years are going to be really interesting because I strongly suspect a lot of deep and, frankly, widespread corruption on a lot of levels, but in particular pedophilia and perhaps even satanic ritual abuse of children is going to be coming out. And accusing someone of some sort of sexual misconduct, of course, can be a real effective way to raise doubt in people's mind, even if it's completely invented or unsupported or contrived or whatever. It can be a weapon that can be created. And even if the person's innocent and ultimately proves their innocence, it's really hard to prove that you didn't do something. You can really only go so far as to say whether or not there's evidence to prove that they did. So you can destroy someone even if you don't actually end up in a prosecuting lawsuit and win the lawsuit just by raising the allegation. So it can be a very disturbing and highly effective political weapon. But I agree with you. It's not a question of believing anybody. It's a question of what is the evidence. And if someone is guilty, but there isn't evidence to prove it, we live in a country that says we're not going to take any chances on prosecuting an innocent person. There has to be sufficient evidence for us to know if you're going to accuse someone particularly of a crime, something criminal. And the consequence of that, unfortunately, is that a lot of guilty people go free because there just isn't the evidence to prosecute or convict. But the flip side of that is we have a really low incidence of innocent people being convicted. Now, that does occur in this country, and it's very disturbing that it can occur, and of course, in any instance where it does occur. I suppose in the real world, we strive for absolutes, but we should acknowledge and accept, or in any event, we strive to approach those absolutes, but in the real world, probably never actually reach them. But we want to minimize the number, if not absolutely eliminate.
Amen to that. And the real issue here in my mind is dealing with facts and then dealing with accountability when the facts are shown. And so let's say that a mom brings her baby to the vaccination clinic or whatever you say, gets the shots, lets her kid take the jab, kid freaks out, spirals down into autism. Mom says, I'm convinced that my kid got autism from the vaccines. Are we going to believe her? Now, if we say that she got raped by, you know, the doctor, by all means, the doctor's done and she's supposed to be believed 100%. Now, let's say she says the doctor gave my kid a jab that gave my kid autism. You know what? He was totally fine for like the first, 2 years of life or whatever. And then the second the vaccines happen, the kid's screaming and melting down and acting weird. And then all of a sudden spirals down into an autistic child. And they say, well, the woman's not to believe. In fact, she's probably an extremist of some kind. She's paranoid. She's a conspiracy theorist. She's crazy. Then we literally have her sue. And so they go and they do this vaccine compensation fund and the government pays out a chunk of change to her. We're still supposed to believe vaccines are safe and effective, right?
And what they will tell you, Sam, just to sort of take it one step further, is that most of the cases settle. And when you settle, one of the conditions of settlement
is the gag order. You got to shut up. You can't talk about it. You can't tell the truth. You can't speak out. You lose all your unalienable rights.
Well, more importantly for this particular point is that we do not you agree that we are not admitting fault. We will settle if you agree. In fact, it's called a no-fault system because the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, 2011, said vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, so nobody's at fault here, but we're going to compensate those of you who suffer so that the larger group of us out there can stay free from these infectious diseases, all of which is nonsense, not based on conspiracy theory, but federal government information and statistics. We just got a few days ago the most updated statistics on the payout in the vaccine injury compensation program. We have now over the 28, I think it is, years, paid out a total of almost $3.8 billion.
Wow. We need one voice for vaccine victims.
Well, Sam, that $3.8 billion figure, let's put that up against a federal Department of Health and Human Services report that says less than 1% of vaccine adverse events ever get reported. So we have no idea what's really going on. If less than 1% get reported, that 3.8 might represent $38 or $380 billion, if you can put a dollar number on people's, you know, deaths and disabilities. And, of course, there's nowhere near that kind of money available in the compensation program, so we don't dare let the real number come out and inform people who have potential injuries. All of them know that there's a program and let them actually all go petition for it because the program would go bust instantly. And the healthcare world, pharmaceutical industry in particular, as we know, it would come crashing down rapidly. Now, frankly, Sam, I think that needs to happen. And I think one of the reasons it hasn't happened is because nobody's willing to push that first domino because it's going to be chaos. There's going to be a period of chaos when the corruption gets exposed on the vaccine issue, when it gets really opened up on the pedophile issue, when it gets really opened up of what's gone on in the past, current for that matter to a large extent, but past administrations when we really get a handle on the depth and extent of the corruption, we as a culture and society, many of us will be in denial for some period of months or years. Many of us will then, if we get past that, will be in shock for some extended period of time, and there's going to be chaos. What do you do when you discover as a society, because a lot of individuals already know this, but what happens when our society discovers what the VACT movie, for example, has been telling people around the world, that we have a federal congressman who has thousands of documents leaked to him by a CDC whistleblower that proves that the CDC has known for years that vaccines cause autism, and not only have they known that, but they deliberately covered it up. They destroyed the physical documents so nobody would ever know, but one of the people had a conscience and made copies of those research papers, and they're now in the hands of a federal congressman, who, by the way, has had this for 3 years. Congress and the Justice Department have done nothing. Why? Well, because there's, this is my interpretation, systemic corruption all the way at the highest levels of government. But even,
well, Donald will fix it, won't he?
Well, he is, in combination with all who are able to work with and support him, our best hope at this point for addressing things at that level in that way, in whatever way he can. I certainly hope he does. But he's up against a massive, deeply entrenched system that includes law enforcement, and nobody wants to go prosecute these people. Bill Posey, the federal congressman from Florida who has these research documents, he has repeatedly asked Congress to investigate. Nobody wants to touch it. I don't blame them, Sam, because it's going to result, when they finally do this, if they do it right and they expose this and they prosecute these CDC criminals and these people are responsible for massive death and disability that might have been prevented, or at least people could have made informed decisions about whether or not to vaccinate. And there are lots of people, when this gets blown open, that are going to go to jail or in hiding, and there's going to be, to one degree or another, some real chaos in the healthcare system.
I think they just need to create a vaccine that makes everybody believe in the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. If they just had a vaccine like that, nobody would be worried about that stuff. You know?
There have actually been people researching a vaccine with the goal of affecting people's religious beliefs.
Yeah, because you can't have a crutch like religion.
Mind control. It's bizarre. I mean, if anything you can think of, they've got a vaccine they're working on for it, and then 100 other things you would never have even thought of. There are vaccines in development for cocaine addiction, obesity, and you're like, well, what do those have to do with infectious diseases? Well, they don't have anything to do with germs. It's not a really, truly a vaccine. But anything that...
But what they'll say is the obesity epidemic requires that they do something. I mean, it's a national health crisis. And they've got to do something, right?
I think what's going on is anything they can call a vaccine, and probably because it has anything to do with the immune system would be my guess, but if they can call it a vaccine, then they can get it on that vaccine injury table, and that means there's no liability for the harm that results from it, and then they're free to, first of all, federal government pays billions of dollars each year to subsidize vaccine research and development. Then state and federal governments mandate vaccines, and if anything goes wrong, the federal government pays the compensation. It's one of the biggest scams on the planet.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Phillips on your radio. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict, and I can't.
I admit, it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom, and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs, and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
What I don't understand is why does the vaccine autism controversy live on? It's pretty much been documented 66 ways from Sunday, but they continue to peddle fake news and the government's in bed with them on it. Alan?
Well, two reasons. It's highly profitable, and when it comes out, important people are going to go to jail.
I hate that.
That's a sort of quick summary, at least in concept and at least in part literally, or literally that is at least part of what's going on, put it the other way around. Of course, the people in control don't want to lose control and they don't want to be held accountable, so they will do anything and everything they can to keep themselves from being exposed. And the reason they have been able to be deeply entrenched and stay deeply entrenched is they have corrupted law enforcement as well, so it's hard for the law enforcement agencies, which have lots of really good people in them. You know, I heard rumors, and I'll just use this as a metaphor because I don't have data backing it up, but rumors were that 99% of people in the FBI wanted to see Hillary get prosecuted, but the one guy at the top said, oh, no problem here, she didn't mean to do anything, so it's all right, and then she doesn't get prosecuted. That doesn't mean the whole FBI is corrupt. It only takes, you know, a small number of people in key decision-making positions in any organization, agency, what have you, to control things. We have a former FDA commissioner as far back as 1969, Sam, this guy went public, former Harvard professor and FDA commissioner, and he said that the FDA does exactly the opposite of what the public thinks it does. It doesn't protect people's health. It protects the pharmaceutical industry, and if anybody challenges that, it goes after them using the government's police powers, meaning law enforcement. So not only, if you've got the law enforcement corrupt as well, or at least the key decision makers and leaders in those agencies, you got a wrapped up system there.
But even if they're not corrupt, but they're just deceived on the law, they may be doing the bidding of the FDA or the pharmaceutical big pharma thugs unwittingly, meaning that they're good people, they just don't know the truth, and so they're basically stooges to carry it out. That may be the case as well.
That certainly, I'm sure, certainly exists. And then there are people who know what's going on, but they're not in a position to do anything about it. And then they have a decision to make. Do I become a whistleblower? Do I risk losing my job and not being able to feed my family and so forth? And, you know, we can stand outside of that and say, well, do the correct moral thing that's best for everybody. But I'll tell you, Sam, what I see in multiple areas where I see corruption is it's very, very difficult for people who see it to speak out. So there are those who don't see it at all and just minding their own business and trying to be a good person, do the right thing based on the information they have and so forth. But there are many who see problems but just don't see a way that they can do anything about it. And when people do speak out, they become or risk becoming targets, and in many cases do become targets. And that, of course, is a great way to discourage others from speaking out. So that's a real
point. Hey, you and I better be quiet pretty soon.
Well, Sam, I just am going to claim whatever you want to call it, blind optimism, naivete, the naive part would be on target to a large extent with me. But I'm just, you know, I'm not willing to let the corruption continue without trying to do something about it. It's why I do what I do. I mean, I'm literally the only attorney in the country who does what I do. There's a federal government list with about 130 attorneys that do vaccine injury cases. Nobody else out there, though, who's focused solely on vaccine exemptions and waivers like I am, who works on all the different areas where that shows up.
And focused on the legislative point to see if we can't make sure that people have a choice. How many attorneys do that, too?
Yeah, and there are lots of attorneys out there who are aware of vaccine problems, and some have contacted me and say, well, you know, hey, Alan, how do I get into this work? How do I do what you're doing? And I say, no problem. First of all, give up any illusion about making a living, because you can't do that in this line of work. And second of all, you're going to have to put in a lot of time ongoing off the clock, but you know, no problem. And, of course, you'll make yourself a target. And you'll probably ruin your local reputation as an attorney. But if you can handle all that, and if they're still on the phone at that point, they're very politely saying thank you and trying to get off the phone.
Yeah, it reminds me of the guy that goes to Jesus. He's like, hey, man, I follow everything. Man, I'm a good dude. And the Lord says, give up everything and follow me. Get rid of your riches. And the guy's like, I don't think so. Not happening.
It's tough, though, Sam, because you have to step – well, you don't have to, but I'll put it like this. Stepping outside of the mold, or the way I think of it, frankly, the pen we've all been herded into, which includes the 9-to-5 where you barely have time to buy groceries and do laundry, and then you start it over again next Monday morning or, you know, whatever your particular schedule is. So we don't have time to keep up. And then things like the bullying thing, I'm going to talk about that very briefly because, of course, that's horrendous behavior. We should oppose it, do anything we can to deal with the problem and so forth. But frankly, Sam, that just smacks to me of distraction. It's a very important issue collectively. It's certainly horrific for individuals. There have been children who've committed suicide over it, so I'm not making light of the issue at all. But when one incidence of bullying becomes national news and there's no mention of the massive corruption that's being exposed right now in the highest levels of government in Washington, D.C., there's something going on here that's a misplaced priority.
It's well, global warming skeptics are bullied. Vaccine questioners are bullied, right?
Well, yeah, let's broaden it to, you know, the bullying that goes on at other levels. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I say, you know, attorneys who decide to take this on are going to make themselves a target, and I am experiencing that in a profound way myself right now, but I won't elaborate on.
And we're telling people, join us.
But here's the deal, Sam. You know, it's very few people who can be among the first ones to step out. But the more people who speak out, who step up and speak out, it becomes a little bit safer and easier for others who couldn't do it to do so. And then when those people do it, it becomes safer for others who couldn't do it until they did it. There's a snowball effect that's going on here, Sam.
You're exactly right. And that's why the facts are we're going to win and they know it.
Well, it's almost like, you know, Alan Phillips, it's almost like you see this whole women thing lately where the, two or three of them spoke up and then they said, well, you know, here's some more. And yet I don't think they really want to open the floodgates about pretty much everything, which is what we would like to see. Hey, let's, you know, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Just bring it on.
Yeah, let those women go to court and prove Bill Clinton's a rapist, for example.
Well, I think there are some people in positions of power who recognize the problems, would like to do something about it. And I'm speculating here, but I think it's a worthwhile point to consider. But they don't know how to open this and keep any kind of to manage it. It's such a big issue that once it gets fully opened up and once we begin to see what the real scope and depth of this is and has been for decades, it's going to be such an enormous thing that it's going to be really difficult to manage. There's going to be some amount or period of chaos with some of these large issues when they finally get exposed. Well, Sam, I don't care how manageable or unmanageable it is, not opening it up is worse. Not exposing the corruption, getting the truth out there, and dealing with it, going through whatever we have to go through to get to the other side, which is a place of integrity and truth and real freedom, Kurt. I agree with you on that, absolutely. We can't be free until the truth is there. And I hear people, for example, they say, oh, we need a study comparing vaccinated, unvaccinated people. That would be great, but you know what? That study's not going to do a darn thing unless people can see it. We have to deal with the corruption first. We have to create a space, an opening where the truth can float to the top and can be seen.
And I would submit to you, believe it or not, it starts with the media. Because again, most people care about this. Most people believe. Most people want to work on the truth. They feel like, but really, unless they can hear the truth and understand how they can fit in for solutions, it's very hard. It's very easy just to say, you know what, man, I think we'd have a water balloon fight for Christmas, you know? It's very easy to diverge from this unless you hear the news and feel like there's other like-minded people together working on this.
Yeah, well, if you can talk about a problem with celebrities in Hollywood or a bully in Tennessee or whatever it is, you can distract people and they won't know what's going on or won't be able to focus on it. We are where we are on many of these large deception issues because the people who got us here are masters of the psychology. Human beings turn out to be highly susceptible to manipulation and easy to manipulate if you know how to do it, and because they control the flow of information. And that's primarily mainstream media, but they also have tools for infiltrating the alternative and independent media to confuse and distract and so forth at those levels as well. So you're absolutely right, Sam. It's about the communication, but whether that means cleaning up mainstream media so it becomes an objective source of news rather than a tool of elite to achieve political ends, or whether people just realize finally that the fake news, the mainstream media is fake news, and we have to ignore it and go somewhere else for information. But whatever it is, they have to see the information.
The new media taking center stage, baby. That's what we're talking about. Alan Phillips with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated by Liberty News Radio on your favorite talk station.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Receive the flu vaccine or lose your job. In Minnesota, nurses and doctors choose to lose their jobs. Wow. More and more people are standing up, ladies and gentlemen. Good people are doing something, and we will reach critical mass. All right. In the Philippines, 700,000 children at risk, Alan?
This is just amazing. Sanofi Pasteur in France created, manufactured a dengue vaccine, administered to one report 730,000 children in the Philippines, after which they discovered or admitted, oops, this can cause the disease. This can cause a more severe case of the disease. And what is just mind-boggling to me, Sam, reading a couple of different articles on this, they're saying, if you've already gotten the infection, now, this is one of those what's wrong with this picture questions, Sam. If you've already had dengue fever, then the vaccine works pretty well. It's like,
say that again.
if they've already had dengue fever in the past, then the vaccine works well. It protects. And I'm like, well,
but if you haven't had it, it just gives it to you.
Well, no, but if you've had it, why do you need it? Because you would have natural immunity, and so you wouldn't need the vaccine. So, of course, the vaccine will work because it doesn't matter if it works or not. You already have natural immunity. It's like, what kind of an idiotic statement is that? Well, it doesn't hurt everybody. If you've already had dengue fever, then it turns out the research shows the vaccine works. I'm just like, what? But, yeah, if you've not had a case of it before, then, you know, it could cause serious problems. And here's the exact wording from the article and from a press release from the pharmaceutical company. For those not previously infected by dengue virus, the analysis found that in the longer term, more cases of severe disease could occur following vaccination upon a subsequent dengue infection. And this is another one of those what's wrong with this picture questions. Well, wait a minute. If you get the vaccination, how can there be a subsequent infection? Because the vaccine protects, you wouldn't get infected. But apparently, Sam, you know, do a reality check for me here. Am I missing something, or is this whole, you know, discussion here, the whole point here, just sort of like nuts or missing something?
Well, I'll tell you what's nuts is the fact that this is not a global story.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I mean, what on earth? 700,000?
Well,
and then they're going to run around. Then they're going to run around and go, "Oh my goodness, man! People are starving in foreign countries." Well, I agree they are.
It's not even a million. What are you worried about, Sam? Come on.
Oh, only
730,000.
Yeah, and they're like not a very important population too, right?
Right. Yeah. See, now you're figuring it all out.
All right. Because see, I believe that the Filipinos are just like us. They're all God's children, and they all deserve protection, and they all deserve life, and they all deserve dignity and honor. And there should be equality before God and government.
Well, let me do some.
That's what I believe.
Back to you. Let me do some research and get back to you on that one, Sam. No, I mean, Sam, you know, you speak obviously. You being or perhaps being a little sarcastic here, but I mean not in that what you're saying isn't absolutely true. When I say sarcastic, it's like it shouldn't even need to be spoken. It's so obvious. But I just really, Sam, you are just so articulate and clear and just right on with.
And they tell you that I'm a racist and I'm defending the innocent Filipinos now. Dude, they're crazy. I mean, there's just absolutely, but the truth shall set us free more and more. Look, it's even, not only is it globally relating to the Filipinos, 700,000 poor children, which my heart goes out to, by the way, but it even goes straight back to good old USA. There's a a community that's livid in Idaho, right?
Yeah, and this was really interesting. Let me.
I'm just bringing it on home. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What was that had to do with some? Refresh my memory because I've read the article, but I'm not.
I guess this community's super mad because this couple tried to not vaccinate their newborn, and the doctor, you know, the thugs just said, "Oh yes, you will." And the enraged community's like going, "Hey man, what? We're not going along with this." So the community acts to help them.
Yeah, that there was a community that came together for the defense. This, again, says speaks to what we talked about earlier, that we're moving towards critical mass, because that's not something that would have happened even a couple or few years ago. More and more people are figuring out what's going on, and we're slowly but steadily learning ways to organize and coordinate on specific matters where it does matter. And what's fascinating to me, Sam, you know, it's really interesting. I heard information about a case recently. It was a family law child custody case where the parents disagree about vaccinating the kids. And the judge says to the mother, who has a religious exemption, "Well, I recognize that you have religious right to refuse vaccines on religious grounds, but you're putting your child in danger." And this is sort of a classic case of cognitive dissonance because, Sam, the law doesn't allow us to put our children in danger. And so if you have a constitutional right that applies, it is because exercising the right does not put your child in danger. And it's just fascinating to me. You know, we have a right to a constitutional right to parent our children. And we are presumed to make decisions in our children's best interests. Unless there's evidence to the contrary, not unlike the criminal innocent until proven guilty idea. And that right to parent our children, in terms of the way the law works, holds up to the point where we are either harming our children or there's some imminent risk of harm. And so when somebody doesn't want their child to get the hepatitis B vaccine, I'll tell you, the only newborn children who are at imminent risk of harm from hepatitis B are the kids who, as newborns, are sexually promiscuous intravenous drug users. And I know this is going to shock you, but I can probably count on one hand the number of those children on the entire planet, newborns who are sexually promiscuous intravenous drug users. There's just not a lot of them out there. So I'm being a little, sarcastic here, but to make a point that the aggressive push of the hepatitis B on newborn children has absolutely no basis whatsoever in health. And that vaccine can kill and disable children.
And I was going to laugh a little bit at your sarcasm, but the issue is too real to laugh, even though it was kind of funny. But I didn't want to derail the point.
Well, go to, I believe the website is called iansvoice.org, I think, maybe .com, I-A-N-S, iansvoice.org or com, if you have a strong stomach. Because this is a child who died from hepatitis B, but the child survived for, I think, 17 days, somewhere close to 3 weeks. And they took pictures of this child over the course of those days. The child was born perfectly healthy, but after the shot had severe reactions that manifested in very ugly physical ways.
I wonder if we're going to believe the mother that says the shots caused it.
I'm sure it's coincidence and, you know, absolutely, the same thing would have happened without the shot. No, I mean, this is what is so outrageous about this. Somebody said to me once, Alan, we asked the nurse, why do we vaccinate newborns for hepatitis B? And the nurse's answer was, because that's what we do. And there's a woman who's not stupid. There's a woman who's caught between the truth and her job. There is no good answer to that question. She doesn't have one. And that's not because she's ignorant or stupid. There just isn't a good answer to that question.
Well, and she is saying, look, I'm very trained, that I know nothing to the contrary because of the indoctrination that's taken place. And so they're just kind of taking a pass and not willing to dig.
Well, she might be, if she's one of the people who hasn't figured out on a conscious level that there really is a serious problem here, then she's dealing with some sort of, you know, again, cognitive dissonance.
Well, and then the problem is if they ask her to take that or have her job, then she'll really be questioning it because a lot of them know better subconsciously. They just don't want to admit it. But if it's push comes to shove and it's like, all right, well, it's time for you to take the job. They're like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. All right. Last story before the end of the hour. I've got to get to this one. I want Alan Phillips to respond to this one. Headline says this: vaccine refusal increasingly being linked to, quote, medical kidnapping and a violation of civil rights.
Oh, boy. This is
absolutely serious business, sir.
People who have refused, for example, the hepatitis B vaccine at birth, when they have a federal constitutional right to do that, even if there's a state law that requires it and that doesn't offer an exemption, because your federal constitutional rights supersede state law, and you can make decisions for your kids up to the point where there's imminent risk of harm. There's no imminent risk of harm by not getting a hepatitis B shot as a newborn. So it's really that.
And there is imminent risk of harm for getting one.
Yes, yes. But the point here is that when they make that threat or actually take the child away, and there have been instances where that occurs, they're violating constitutional rights. Now, what I say to people is, if you don't want the hepatitis B vaccine for your newborn, you deal with that months ahead of time, make sure everybody's on board, on the same page. If anybody involved disagrees, argues with you, you go somewhere else to have your child, or you bring in an attorney. You do whatever you need to do to resolve it ahead of time so that you're not sitting there with a newborn child in your arms and saying and arguing with somebody about whether they're going to vaccinate this child. But the reality is that some people have had their children taken away. Doctors are very aggressive. They want their 101%, you know, newborn immunization rate. Reports have been said that doctors get paid for every child, you know, who gets vaccinated. Specifically, I've been told, I haven't confirmed this absolutely, but that Blue Cross and Blue Shield will pay pediatricians something like $400 per child who is fully up to date on the recommended vaccines up to age 2, I think, and if they have something like 63% of their patients are fully up to date, then they get $400 a child, and in some practices that can be tens of thousands of dollars at the end of the year. It's just, if that's true, it's just amazing. And why would ultimately presume the pharmaceutical industry is behind this. Why would the pharmaceutical industry spend money to get children fully vaccinated? Well, the big money in vaccines is not the vaccines themselves, but it's the lifelong customers that are created by the chronic diseases that vaccines cause. And then you have lifelong customers for other pharmaceutical products.
Which, when you dig into that, becomes a much more sinister, evil plot, because if we can tie that together, then they're literally using the government by force to make people ill. The whole thing makes me ill, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now, vaccines need to be a choice. We're not saying nobody should ever be able to take vaccines. What we're saying is we're pro-choice when it comes to vaccines. Some people like them, believe in them, fine. Some people don't. That should be their right as well. The problem is they're trying to move towards force. They're pro-choice when it comes to pro-death. But when it comes to choosing what you want, they don't believe in choice. Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks.